Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between.
This station is Insider's Perspective Emergency Alert on Alabama politics.
It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Good morning. Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Wednesday. It is Wednesday, so keeping with the tradition we've had the last few weeks, we are in Montgomery in the State House today. Pray for our internet connection because it is sometimes unstable, and we'll try to make the best we can of that. That being said, thanks for joining us. We got a packed show today. State Representative Ed Oliver about to join us here in a moment, but beyond that, Congressman Jerry Carl will join. He'll join us by phone. We'll talk about the campaign. We had Barry Moore on yesterday. So keeping true to the pledge, we have those guys on once a week until that March 5th primary, and we'll see how that shakes out. State Representative Steve Klaus, I've not talked to him in a while, not since he's been general fund chairman in the House, but he hails from Ozark. Always been good to this program. Look forward to hearing from him. Brian Brenyard, new member from Tuscaloosa County. He took over the Kyle South seat, who was from Fayette County. We'll see how he is. Coming into his new role here, and we'll talk to him about some other things as well. State Representative Danny Garrett tentatively set to join us, chairman of the ETF. Now, he may have a meeting, and if it runs long, we have someone in the bullpen ready to go to be named here if necessary. So, but he'll be at 11 o'clock hour. We'll wrap it all up with your Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth. So you want to make sure you stay tuned for all 3 hours if you want to know what's going on in Alabama legislative politics. In the meantime, text line 251-343-0106. Text me, comment, complaint, suggestion, compliment, whatever it is that's on your mind. Joining us now, as I have mentioned, this is the last segment from one of my favorite parts of the state. We always spend time in his district when we're wife, the child, and the dogs, and I head to Auburn for a sporting event. But Ed Oliver from Dadeville with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to be here.
Hey, thanks for coming by. So been tied up with the gambling bill, and we've thoroughly have addressed that saga, but the show still goes on, and you and I talk frequently about critical race theory, what's going on in the academy, higher ed, et cetera. What's kind of a progress report there? Where are we at on that?
Well, we're at Will Barfoot is going to introduce the bill in the Senate, or has introduced it. It's in committee today at 11 o'clock, and we've got folks up there to talk for and against it, and I expect it to pass. And as soon as the Senate passes this bill on the floor, we'll get it in the House.
Long overdue, right?
But I'll say this, a three-year development on a bill, I think it makes a good bill. It's had a lot of eyes on it and a lot of smart people working on it.
Well, the Senate's been the trick, right? That's where it's gone to sort of fizzle out.
Right.
But you're letting them take up the lead on this.
Well, sometimes you just have to hand them the football and say, all right, it's up to you.
You feel pretty good about it, so,
I do.
Senator Barfoot, I heard there was a little bit of back and forth with Roger Smitherman, Senator Smitherman, and Will Barfoot over it. But
I think sitting and talking with them, they understand the purpose of the bill, and I think they agree with it. But once again, they're from the opposition party, so that's what they do is they oppose things.
Yeah, well, the loyal opposition is not necessarily a bad place to be for those guys, but they make the most of it. What Well, walk us through and tell us, like, exactly what this bill does.
Well, here's the 30-second rundown.
All right, lay it on me.
The bill prohibits certain public entities, including state agencies, local boards of education, and public institutions of higher education, from maintaining a diversity, equity, and inclusion office or department, or sponsoring any diversity, equity, and inclusion programs or programs that advocate for divisive concepts. It prohibits the same public entities from promoting, endorsing, or requiring a firm affirmation of certain concepts relating to race, sex, or religion. And it prohibits these same public entities from conditioning enrollment or attendance in certain classes or trainings on the basis of race or color. And it also authorizes public entities to discipline or terminate employees or contractors who violate this act. And this applies from K-12 through post-secondary education. And I think it's long overdue.
Well, was this a... What is the landscape like? How big of a problem do you think this is or was?
I think post George Floyd and this COVID, the psyche of the left is on steroids. So we've had a lot of activist teachers that are out proselytizing for what they believe, and I get that. But the classroom's not the place, and this protects all kids, left or right, doesn't matter. It puts teachers back in the business of teaching, not trying to politicize kids.
I mean, it still goes on, and it's still, but what was going, the trend was, instead of it being just sort of a thing that goes on in the classroom, it may or may not be going on in the classroom, they started making it, like, putting these programs in writing.
And it's pervasive. And, yeah. It's in all the books. And the thing is 99.9% of teachers in this state are great. But it doesn't take many to be the disruptors. And frankly, if your kid goes through K-12, that's compulsory education. We make you go.
Right.
So the legislature has a responsibility to be involved and to at least find the guardrails to make sure your kid is safe and gets the kind of education that is practical and is not some wackadoodle CRT theory that has no basis on the rest of their life. It doesn't help them work, doesn't help them get a job, doesn't help them to become productive citizens.
No, it's like a virtue signaling exercise that with all the problems of education, now higher education is different in Alabama, but K through 12, right? This probably ought to be near the bottom of the priority list.
Well, and I'll be honest, we had looked at just because of the First Amendment constrictions on what we can and can't do with the post-secondary, we had thought real hard about making this a K-12 bill and following up with the DEI bill. But then being an Alabama graduate and being naturally lazy, we decided to combine the bills and just pass one. So we did put DEI into this bill. So diversity, equity, inclusion at the post-secondary level is included, and largely because Florida and Texas had success with it.
Well, tell me this, Representative. Now, when we were debating about the merits of this a few years back or whatever, 2 years or a year ago, with regards to the University of Alabama and Auburn University and them like sort of being a constitutional flagship university, does this law apply to them like it does
Absolutely.
Troy, South Alabama?
Absolutely.
Because they would argue it wouldn't, that they have a different set of rules.
Well, there are about 630 million ways we can influence that. So that's the universities are great. I went to the University of Alabama, love the institution. I live 20 minutes from the stadium at Auburn.
Right.
Great institutions. I think this in the long run will be good for them. And we're a conservative state.
Well, do you foresee any problems like that? I mean, now this is just because these discussions are just kind of been theoretical, but. Have they given you any feedback?
They have, and we've reached out to them as well. And everything in this world is a compromise. I think as the pendulum swings and the state chases its conservative orbit, right. All this stuff will disappear anyway. And I think, or at least be channeled to a back row.
It does feel like kind of in a fad. Or something like a trend that will fizzle out at some point.
Well, people come to their senses.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole woke culture. I've always said, well, like, just give it time. Now that doesn't make it right or wrong. Well, mm-hmm. It makes it wrong, I mean, from our perspective, but it does feel like it's temporary.
Well, you mentioned virtue signaling. There are a lot of people that are impressionable, and they hear these things.
Right.
Remember, CRT, Marxism, been around in this country since the 20s, and it never completely goes away. And every now and then finds a toehold and reemerges, and that's exactly what Divisive Concepts fights against.
Yeah, well, have you made any tweaks to it since it got out of house, will this, the Barfoot bill, is it pretty satisfactory in your view?
I love the bill. Eagle Forum has helped us with it from the start. I think they're very happy with it. Manhattan Institute, which is a think tank we've used to help us with it, they like it. Have had no pushback. And, of course, the language has evolved over the last 3 or 4 years. Now, CRT is always changing. The left just, they do the same thing and call it something different. So you have to be tuned into that.
Well, and for the sake of this discussion, like an example of CRT, like the 1619 Project, and that was the real founding of America, and then America was built on slave labor or whatever, and that's just like a revisionist sort of history. It's not 1776.
Not sort of. That is completely revisionist.
Right. So that's the kind of thing you're guarding against, right?
Sure. And history is that's the thing we get from Democrats that oppose the bill, is that they can't teach history. Well, that's not it at all. And Senator Barfoot and I have been very careful to say that any sort of history that you can find 3 or 4 mainstream scholars that would agree is history is history. If, and I hate to use the term wackadoodle twice in the same conversation, but we all know there are folks out there that are going to bring up 1619 or things like that that are revisionist history and think that should be included. Well, this law precludes that.
Now, it goes beyond just schools, but also state agencies.
So, state agencies and their political subdivisions, to include counties and municipalities and anything else.
We have a lot of that going on. I mean, there's human resources, and you guys know, like team building and these seminars.
Compelled speech is the thing that this bill blows up. And they can't ask you for a DEI statement. They can't make you say you believe in this or that to hire you for a job. If you're a stonemason, you're a stonemason. You're not a political scientist. So that we get away from all these, I can't even think of a nice way to put it, so I won't.
Now it doesn't get contractors. You're a private contractor. You work for the government.
It can get contractors as well.
As long as it's involved with the government.
Well, right.
Explain me. Walk me through that. Like, if I'm like one of these woke corporations or trying to appear to be, and I show up and I win a contract with the state, where does the law kick in?
The place that I think it's the most lenient, and I'll start with that, if you have a student, say he's doing an internship for a company that he gets credit for, we're not going to get involved in that. And you might consider that a contract of some sort. That's going to be outside our purview for the most part. Contractors that work for a university or the state or a municipality, no DEI statements.
So you go back when the state was trying to borrow money from prisons, and this gets back to the whole ESG discussion, a lot of that.
Which is was birthed out of all this other crazy stuff.
Right.
And for ESG, of course, that's where corporations want to do the right and wondrous, virtuous thing. So if you don't participate in their program with environmental social governance, then they don't loan you money.
Right.
I'm one of those folks. I believe the state of Alabama ought to just suck it up and not do business with those people.
And these are some heavy hitters, especially in Alabama business. And
sure.
There's a real reluctance to do that. But
we are open for business in Alabama, but we're business.
And we'll wrap it up on this, but talk me through this. Like, if you are found to be engaging in this behavior, I mean, what's the penalty? What's sort of the teeth of the enforcement mechanism of this?
Well, termination.
But would the legislature say you must terminate this employee? I mean, like, how?
Well, we can withhold money. So people worry about enforcement. We're not going to put people in jail.
Right.
But we appropriate money to all of these folks.
But you could do that without this law, right?
You could. But we're giving people a chance to comply.
And just laying down the marker
sure.
and the rules, right?
Sure.
Well, best of luck to you. We'll get more into it, I guess, as the days come, and we'll see how this goes. But it looks pretty good right now, right?
I think it's a good bill for Alabama. I'm very proud of it.
State Representative Ed Oliver, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.